This is session 13 of the Gospel according to John. We are in John chapter 1, and we're looking at John's record of Jesus to his disciples. Right now we're talking about John the Baptist, verses 29 through 34. We talked a little bit last week about how profound it was that John understood that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. And it was profound. And just a quick review of John's ministry. His whole purpose was to make Jesus manifest to Israel. That's why he baptized in water. John was of Israel. And since he was faithful in this calling, he got to be the first one to realize who Jesus was and know him. And it happened through obedience to his calling. In obeying his calling, Jesus was revealed as the Christ to John. The other thing to take note of is that, again, that Jesus was manifested to Israel through John's baptism. That's very important. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And John's baptism was a baptism in water. And you can also read about this in Acts chapter 19. John came not to establish his own ministry in his own name, but his whole purpose was to prepare the way of the Lord, to point people forward to the one who was coming after him, who was greater than him. And he did this faithfully. And just a reminder how repentance is what prepares the way. Repentance is like tilling the soil of the heart so that the heart can be of good soil and can receive the seed of the gospel and bring forth fruit unto eternal life. John came plowing the soil. He was like the strong ox doing the hard labor that needed to be done in the hearts of men so that when Jesus Christ came, they could receive him. He is the seed, Galatians chapter 3. And that they could receive him and become the sons of God. But it's impossible for hearts with stony ground. It's impossible for hearts with thorns to receive the seed and bring forth fruit. And that's why you need a good strong laborer like a John the Baptist to go in and preach repentance and preach the truth of God and preach to the conscience of men so that people will have a desire to turn to the Lord and then they can hear about Jesus and believe on him. This is not just an Old Testament transition into New Testament thing, but this is all through the New Testament. Repentance always precedes faith. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And nobody in Israel came to Jesus without going through John. None of them. We saw that before. Now, real quick, we didn't get time last week to look at John's further record. His further record is in verse 32, where he says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Amen. I love that. I saw the Spirit. He saw the Spirit. The Spirit was descending from heaven. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is something that's of heaven. It's not of this earth. But praise God that he's of heaven and he's not of this earth because he can teach us of heavenly things. I'm not going to go in depth here, but if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's impossible for a natural man with his natural spirit to really comprehend and understand the things of God. Because the things of God are heavenly things. We are of the earth. We're earthy. We can't understand those things. But thankfully, there's a spirit that comes from above who understands all things. He says it searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's the Holy Ghost. He knows everything of God, and he can freely give things to us. But this Holy Ghost, his first manifestation in this New Testament operation, if you will, was it first came down and abode on him, Jesus Christ. Now notice how it came down like a dove, gentle. See the ministration of the Holy Ghost, the operation of the Holy Ghost in this age that we're living in it's a ministry of gentleness. It really is. Jesus was very gentle. He was very patient. And that's why it came down like a dove. because you read about the wisdom that's from above. The wisdom from above comes from the Holy Ghost in James chapter number 3. And that wisdom from above is not full of strife and envying and pride and railing and quick. No, the wisdom from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated of. That's why James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Because this wisdom from above is this Holy Ghost. He's bringing a ministry of gentleness. Now, that doesn't mean there can't be rebuke. That doesn't mean that there can't be correction. But you see Jesus Christ's ministry, overall, it was a ministry of gentleness. He wasn't come to break the ones who were wounded. He wasn't come to put out that smoking flax. He was come to bind up the brokenhearted. He was come to preach deliverance to the captives. He was come to bring sight to the blind. It was really a ministry of gentleness of the Holy Ghost. And we need that same spirit today. And that spirit abode upon him. That word abode means it found its dwelling place. It's like if you move to a new home, that's your new abode. See, it rested and it found a place that it could live in Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that. It's wonderful. There's the story in the Old Testament of Noah in the ark and waiting to find out if the ground was ready for them to go back to. And he sends out the dove the first time, and the dove comes back because it found nowhere to abide. And 7 days later, he sent it out again, and it came back with an olive leaf. So evidently things were subsiding, but it wasn't quite ready. And then finally, the third time, after another 7 days, he sent it out, and the dove didn't return. It found somewhere to abide. Amen. And that's a picture of right here. The Holy Ghost came down, and he found a temple to abide in. And it wasn't a temple built with hands. It was the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll see Jesus refer to his body as a temple a little bit later here in the Gospel according to John. And then he says in verse 32, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. You see, the one that you see the Spirit come down and abide in, he's the one with the real baptism, the real power, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 4, when it says that there's one baptism, it's talking about the one preeminent baptism that matters above all. Yeah, there's multiple baptisms in the Bible. You can study it. There's all different kinds of baptisms. There's water baptisms. There's baptism of fire. But the main baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the one baptism for the church. Even John the Baptist, who baptized in water, did not make a big deal about his water baptism. He made a big deal about repentance, turning to God, and being ready for the Messiah who was going to come, who was greater than all, and that he was the one who would baptize with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 34, John says, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. When John saw that happen, he knew that's the one. That's the one. That's the one from Psalm 2. And all the prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah, he knew he's the one. He's the anointed one of the Father. He's the one who's going to rule over the earth. He's the one. And the Lord gave him that revelation. Amen. I love it. Now, I personally think that the way this thing happened was, I think that John was baptizing, Jesus came to him. John knew Jesus was a more righteous man than him. And that's why he said, oh, I shouldn't be baptizing you. But he didn't really know that he was the Christ yet. So he baptizes him in the water. And then when Jesus comes up out of the water, heaven opens, the Spirit comes down, and John goes, whoa, it's him. My cousin is the one. And John knew. But then Jesus immediately left and went off into the wilderness. And for 40 days, he was tempted of the devil, and he was out there fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So he disappears, and he goes off. And John has this revelation. John understands who he is. And I think John starts telling his disciples. And I think that's when the Pharisees came out and said, "Who are you?" And John was pretty short with them. And then the next day, this must have been after the 40 days, Jesus came back from being in the wilderness. And he came back and he was passing through the region where John was. That's why it says the next day back in verse 29. So this is after the 40 days is done. John already knew who Jesus was, but Jesus went off to be tempted. And now he comes back and he goes, "There he is. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. And he knew right then. I mean, John baptized in water and people confessed their sins, but he knew he couldn't really take away their sin. He knew it was the one coming after him who baptized with the Holy Ghost that would take away sin. It was the very Son of God himself. And so now Jesus has come back. He's been tempted. He's passed the test. And now his ministry is going to begin. And in verse 35 through 51, we see the beginning of the following of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ begins to gather disciples. And it's really neat to see how Jesus Christ calls disciples. As we're going to start to get into this study to study Jesus Christ, I think we really need to pay attention carefully. And we, especially if we are ministers or we're quote-unquote men of God or pastors or anything like that, we really need to lay to heart how Jesus did things. Because a lot of times it's quite different than how we were taught to do things. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the greatest, and he's the one we should be following. I'm just going to make a few statements ahead of time, and then we'll see as we go. But Jesus really didn't waste a lot of time, and he didn't really waste a lot of words. Jesus was really quite direct. He didn't beat around the bush. I really think that the Father just worked something so special in him. Obviously, he's the Christ. I know he was amazingly special. But maybe that whole 40-day experience, no food, battling the devil, he really came back in just a power of the Spirit that nobody had ever seen before and nobody's ever seen since. And it's just interesting. He had a 3.5-year ministry. He didn't start a Bible school. He didn't build a little building and hold church services. He really just went out in power, and he understood the church that he was building was not an organization or a structure, but it was real people. He was carving out faith in real hearts and in real souls, and he was putting new spirits inside of people, and he was retraining their minds to think right. And Jesus just had a way of just calling people to action. He didn't waste a lot of time. He called people to action. He had a funny way of answering questions. A lot of time he'd answer questions with questions. He was always testing people's hearts. He was always trying, where does their will really lie? And that's how he operated. He didn't waste his time trying to flatter men or please men. He didn't waste his time trying to impress people. He lived that 3.5 years with an absolute mission, and nothing would distract him. And yet, like we saw, the Spirit came down like a dove. In the midst of that intense focus on what mattered, he was still extremely gentle and would find time to go well out of his way to minister and serve to needy, suffering people. He really had a heart for the wounded. He really had a heart for the broken. And he made time. So he's a guy who didn't waste time, but he's a guy who also made time for the people who needed it. So we're going to start looking at this. This is the beginning of Jesus' following. And this is how his following started, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." So now this is the day after, and Jesus comes back by again, and he goes, there he is. And verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And that's the smartest decision you could ever make. It's wonderful to be around a man of God. It's wonderful to be around a great preacher. It's wonderful in your youth to hang on to a man of God and learn the truth from him. That's great. But when the day comes when Jesus shows up in your life, best thing you can do is leave that man behind and follow Jesus Christ no matter where he goes. It's the best thing you can do. See, we want to become not just disciples. We're not trying to make just disciples. We're not trying to train disciples. We don't want people who are disciples of our church or our organization or our denomination. The goal is we want, first and foremost, to make sure we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we want to see others become disciples of Jesus Christ. And so there's a time for following man, and there's a time for sitting around and hearing the good words of men, but there also comes a time when you gotta follow Jesus Christ yourself. Now these two disciples, I believe they were Andrew and John, because he'll tell us the one was Andrew, and the other one he doesn't tell us who it was, and the way John writes his gospel, I really think it was John, but can't prove it. So anyways, verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? Where are you staying? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. I love that. You know, Jesus, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? It's a great question. Isn't that what he asks us when we come to him? What are you looking for? What are you seeking? So he's trying your heart. What are you really after? And I love the heart of Andrew and John. I love their heart. And you can tell these young men, these were guys who had found real repentance. They had a hunger and a thirst for the living God. They had hearkened to the words of John, and they dwelt close by John. And these were men that stayed close to the preacher, and they continued in the word. And that tender heart and that good conscience that they had. And he goes, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? What a great response. You know, what are you looking for? I just want a blessing. I want a better position. I want a better marriage. I want a better job. What are you looking for? I want people to like me. I want to be loved. I want people to love me. What are you looking for? I'm looking for truth. There's a lot of people think they're looking for truth, but they don't really want to do anything about it. What are you looking for? You know, it's not about those things. You know what it's really about? John and Andrew understood. They said, where are you staying? We want to be with you. Amen. They understood. Wherever you are, that's where we want to be. That's a profound statement. I don't even think they really realized what they were saying at that moment, but I think Jesus realized. And you know Jesus' response? He says, come and see. I love it. Jesus, a lot of times his answers, he didn't give the answer in words. He would call them to action so they could actually experience it. How we need this kind of Christianity. I mean, the real Christianity, the Christianity of Jesus Christ himself, where it's not just words, but it's action, it's experience. We're walking in it. Yes, we need the words of truth. Don't get me wrong. But if we're just sitting around debating and striving about words to no profit and convincing ourselves that we have the word of truth and we're seeking truth, well, maybe we need to stop seeking truth, and maybe we need to just seek to be with Jesus. Maybe we just need to say, you know what? Wherever Jesus goes is exactly where I want to be. I just want to be with him, and I want to just be faithful to him. And stop trying to seek the truth and watching all the conspiracy theories on YouTube and trying to find all the hidden things in the dark about everybody. Why don't we just want to spend some time with Jesus? Amen. And after this, it says, one of the two which heard him speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. This is deep and we don't have time for it right now. We'll get into it next time. But really neat to see how Jesus really loves people, how he really values them, and how in spite of their faults and their weaknesses, he sees the potential of what they can be in him. And that's exactly what he did with Simon here when he looks at him. Now, I'm not going to read through the rest of this right now, but just so you can see here in these verses, verses 35 to 51, you're going to see different ways that people begin to follow Jesus. And it's just neat. Andrew and John leave John the Baptist to follow Jesus. Peter comes through Andrew, his brother. Jesus finds Philip himself directly. And Philip finds Nathanael, his friend, and brings him. And these are kind of like the different ways people come to Christ. You know, John and Andrew, they came through the preacher. They were good young men, continuing in the word, like young men in the church, listening to the preacher, and they came to Jesus through the preacher. Peter, he came through a family member, Andrew. Nathanael, he came through a friend, Philip. And Philip, Jesus found him directly. And you know what? Sometimes Jesus comes directly to people. That's not the commonplace. Usually it's through a preacher, or it's through a family member, or it's through a friend. It's how you come to Christ. But sometimes he calls you directly. So next time, we're going to continue just looking at this account and just open up some things and just see how Jesus is so unique in how he did his ministry and how he called disciples. And by God's grace, we want to learn from him and become more like him. Amen and amen.